You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Yuen Wu. Yuen, thanks so much for being with me today.
And I'm such a pleasure to be here with you.
Yuen, we're talking about your show, of course, at Nunu Fine Art, and I'm really looking forward to discussing this with you. This show, From Rock to Cloud, is an iteration of some of the works you've done before, right? There's installation work and sculptural work and work on paper. But to step back a little bit and look at the whole show, this is yet another iteration of some of the materials and ideas you've been working on. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. I'm very excited about this upcoming show. It's titled From Rock to Cloud. You know, this exhibition uses a lot of my previous explorations about migration, about memory, about nature, about material transformation.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about the materials and what you're doing, but transformation is such a big part of your thinking and your work, and in Rock to Cloud, of course, it's there as well. We'll talk about it, of course, I guess, as we move through some of the work. But can you tell me a little bit about how you're thinking in terms of transformation? Because this is literally about kind of solid rock moving into ephemeral cloud.
In one form, yes. But I think of it also about migration and cultural identity and the transformation of living here in the United States. I was born in Taipei, and I immigrated to the United States about the age of 7, and the exhibition draws strongly on that experience. So the title itself is kind of important because the rock suggests something solid, it's ancestral, it's rooted, while the cloud suggests something that's more ephemeral, it's more impermanent, it's about change. And this movement between the two becomes a metaphor for me about cultural identity. It's not fixed after migration, but I think of it as continuously evolving as people encounter, you know, new places, languages, traditions, and generations.
And that's, you're speaking about this personally, right? This is about also a personal transformation, psychological and physical and cultural?
Yeah, but I also think that this is an immigrant experience. I think it's larger than myself. But of course, I use the materials that are meaningful for my life and the things that I've encountered. So hopefully it translates to a broader audience.
So let's talk about these materials, because you're using tea, lotus leaves, and porcelain orbs, and so many interesting materials here. Perhaps we should start with acculturation, because that's part of what's being installed in the show is installed, correct? A version of that?
That's correct. Acculturation is a series expressing, well, metaphorically, of living in multiple cultures. This work uses gilded tea and forage plant materials. And gilded tea, the tea is from Taiwan, and the forage materials are mostly from New England. And in the Nunu show, I'm also including materials gathered from New York City. So they literally are coming from different geographical and cultural environments, and that the combination becomes a physical representation of the immigrant experience.
So tell me a little bit about the building of these materials, because, you know, they're sculptural, but we're also, you're using actual leaves, you're using plant matter, and can you tell me a little bit more about how these are made? These are gilded leaves, is that correct?
Yeah. So what I love about this project is that the tea leaves are coming from my family members in Taiwan. And that's a particular kind of tea that they love, which is, it's called Alisan or High Mountain Tea, which is from the central, from a tea area in Taiwan. And so they will drink this and then give me their post-brewed tea leaves. So after drinking the tea, they dry it, and then they put it in and then mail it to me. And so I then rehydrate this tea leaf and, you know, lay it, blot it dry, and then gild it, each one. Every single stem that I make in acculturation has one tea leaf, but then it's also incorporating gathered materials, plant materials from areas in New England where I live. I live in Boston. And then also for the show, I've also gathered materials from New York.
And when assembling these look enormously delicate. You're also adding other metals to them. How do these stay together and not just disintegrate?
So they're gilded many times. They're dipped in, I don't know, they must have about, they vary, but it has about 10 layers of gold on there, of gilding on there. So it really does preserve the plant life. I spoke to a conservator about this, so it's good to know that it will
last. And
the conservator
said it will last. I mean, it has to be packed, obviously.
I guess gold will last a long time.
And the porcelain orbs. So, I mean, all of these materials are symbolizing, as you said, you know, aspects of an experience, of a journey, of an immigrant experience. And so, you know, talking about those tea leaves and where they're coming from gives me, a sense of that. And the orbs, let's talk about the orbs. The porcelain orbs are new in this show, right?
Yes. So this comes from a series called Intentions, and that was first shown at the Boston ICA. And here and there I used, I took the tea mailed to me from my family and made them into orbs that represent mala prayer beads. And there are 108 orbs in each of the strands. In this particular show, I am going to be using both tea, lotus leaves, and porcelain, and they're all suspended. The tea orbs are wrapped in red thread. The lotus leaves are suspended with red thread, as is the porcelain orbs. And each of the materials, of course, carries a meaning. Tea connects to everyday social and cultural rituals, while the red thread represents a personal family tradition. And this was something that my grandmother would do with red thread. She would tie a small cord around each of a newborn and say a Buddhist prayer, which would then be kept for about a week, and then they would be cut. So it was a nice tradition. But she was also a Buddhist, and so she would have these mala beads. It was something that I grew up listening to her prayers, and this whole series called Intentions really references ideas of ritual, of contemplation, of repetition, and of devotion.
Yeah, that's something that's, you know, so foreign to me, as a Westerner, my grandmother wasn't doing anything like that, and it sounds so wonderful, that kind of ritual. I know you've written about the fact that this was an experience that you had as a child with her, right? So listening to her voice and what's happening there. I'd like to talk a little bit about that. We're talking about intentions, of course. This this sculptural work, this kind of hanging sculptural work, it seems so much based in your the experience with your grandmother as a child. Is that correct, or is it broader? Because I'm just so interested in the story you just told about your grandmother, but also about the way a child must kind of digest that experience and now bring it into life, which is, you know, what you're doing here as an adult. But the experience of what your grandmother was doing or being seems that it was very fundamental to this work, but also perhaps to the whole show.
Her person, her being, was extremely important in my growing up years in Taiwan. It's a matrilinear influence that has stayed with me in the core of all my work. There's something about her that I felt has carried through in all the different series. And part of it includes, you know, not only her prayers, but also her actions throughout her life. She was a seamstress during the Japanese occupation of Taiwan, and in her small, rebellious way, she would insert a little red thread in all the clothes that she would repair. And I think of these small gestures as something that carries through in how I think about my work as well. My work is quiet. It's not a huge political statement. However, I hope that my aesthetics and what I have to say within that will have its own significance in our conversations in contemporary times.
I love that she put a little red thread in all that. That does sound like a political act to me, in a very personal way, right? I mean, there's something so powerful about that idea that it's invisible, right, to the wearer, I would imagine. But it's somehow an act of resistance, of political resistance. Or am I going too far there?
No, I think that was her way of saying, this is our line. You know, we are Taiwanese, and I am inserting this little piece as a memento, as a memory, as a to carry through this whole, you know, culture of Taiwan.
And thanks for sharing that. You know, she sounds like a remarkable woman, and now that gives me a different sense also of the whole show and its pathos to some degree. What other work should we talk about in the show? There's the tea orbs that we just discussed, and the porcelain orbs, and the other work. But there's also a video in the show, correct?
No, that was for the ICA. Yeah, that was a accompanying video for the ICA, and I could come back to that because that actually led to a series of works called The Accumulation of Dreams, which will also be in the exhibition. But following intentions, I'm thinking about, let's talk about a little bit a different form of sculpture. And in this particular case, I've done a whole series called Artifacts. And these are based on scholar rocks. So I don't know if you know much about scholar rocks. They're generally found in the natural world, and they can vary in different sizes. They're an object that's placed on a desk or to enormous versions in a man-made garden. It acts as a portal to inspire, you know, you sitting there and contemplating the natural world and maybe even the universe. So it was an important cultural and historical element, and it really influenced also this next series of works. For me, the rocks are really deeply personal. I recall collecting rocks as a child in Taiwan while walking with my grandparents. And my grandparents would create a shelf where then I would honor these little rocks. And in that, it really provided, when you put something on a shelf, right, Brainerd, it becomes a different element. It becomes elevated. There's so much more meaning in that than just putting rocks in a pile in the corner. True?
True, absolutely.
So in that, I've carried that through I really love collecting rocks. It's actually kind of sad because I do have a big pile as well. But I've made these rocks to become like an artifact of childhood, of family, of geography, of memory. And I think of the scholar rock as both a symbol and a bridge in my work. It symbolizes for me a kind of ancestry. It's an endurance of memory. It's a landscape that we carry within us. And it also bridges cultural histories and geographies and systems of belief that I'm thinking about, right?
I mean, keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt, but are you using gold foil on them? Is there, as you did in previous accumulation of dreams?
I'm using, in some of the rocks, I mend them, meaning that I've inserted gold repair in the Kintsugi method. So I don't know if you're aware of that particular method, but when something is broken, you can repair it with a gold line.
Right. So you see the repair.
You see the repair. Yeah. It's a beautiful, way of noticing the mending.
I love that. Yeah. So that's how these are created with that method. Again, using gold is running throughout the show.
Yes, gold runs out throughout the show. And gold has many meanings in my work. It started also, we can discuss historically about the California Gold Rush. We can discuss gold as understanding as a representation of the promise of the American dream for the immigrant. Talking about prosperity, about success. What does that mean? How do we define that definition of success? And so that's in many of my pieces, including Acculturation Flow, which we alluded to earlier on. Each of the stems have gilded leaves, but there's also areas that are ungilded. And so it discusses that not everyone gets to experience the American dream.
Right, and there's so many, gold has so many references, so that's in part what's being referenced here. I love that as a contemplation also of the natural world, and there's so many layers here. I love talking to you about this show. Is there something else we should talk about in the show before we go?
And there's going to be works that are collage drawings, again, pulling together the idea of from rock to cloud.
And, the collage drawings are, will be in the show as well. There's three of them. Is that correct?
Yes. There is a triptych, and then there'll be other smaller drawings. So, it alludes again the rock to origins and ancestry and permanence and memory. And then in between, we have this whole natural world, the plant life, which is represented through acculturation flow. And then we move into this idea of cultural memory into the cloud, into the trans. And the cloud represents this kind of transformation.
That's so exciting. Yuen, I want to thank you for talking to me. And, of course, listeners, please go see the show at New New Fine Arts. I think very exciting that you're having this show there and the new elements in this show. So I'm urging listeners to go. And Yuen, I just want to thank you so much for your time today and putting together this show.
Well, thank you for having this wonderful conversation together.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.